Welcome to Fundamentally Human, a podcast about mental health topics unpacked in an easy-to-understand way. My name is Shervin, and I'm your host. Let's get started. For today's episode, we're going to talk about seasonal affective disorder, or SAD, which is something you may already be familiar with, but might not know the details of what it is, what you can do about it, or how you can support someone who might be experiencing this. Have you ever noticed how the weather changes or the season changes, especially fall or winter time, or how the amount of sunlight each day affects how you're feeling? So typically when the days get shorter and the nights get colder in the fall and winter time, people may be experiencing something called seasonal affective disorder, or SAD. People might treat this lightly and think of it as something that's not out of the ordinary. Oh, it's just me being sad, having seasonal affective disorder. But it's actually a type of depression that is referred to as major depressive disorder, with season patterns in the Diagnostic and Statistic Manual of Mental Health Disorders, or DSM-5. And that's a handbook clinicians use to diagnose mental health disorders. So symptoms of SAD are the same as the ones for depression. It includes loss of interest in activities, being withdrawn from friends and family, more irritable, feeling fatigued, easily tired, feeling low and down, and having potential thoughts of suicide. So the main difference between SAD and depression is that SAD occurs in a seasonal pattern, usually in the fall and winter months. And those experiencing SAD might notice that they have lower energy levels. They might be overeating, having weight gain, or sleeping a lot more than they usually do. Healthcare providers can diagnose this through a questionnaire, though in order to be diagnosed with SAD, you must also meet the first criteria for major depressive disorder. This means you experience at least 5 symptoms of depression for at least 2 weeks. So while some people might experience summer depression or SAD in the summer, it's actually rare, and it might be an indication of having major depressive disorder or depression as well. Since SAD is a diagnosed disorder, about 2 to 3 Canadians will experience it in their lifetime. So I know that sounds a lot smaller than what someone might expect, and I was surprised to see the statistic too. And I'm sure we can all agree that we've experienced some of the symptoms, whether it's dreading to wake up to work because it's going to be dark in the morning, or looking out the window at 3-4 o'clock and it's already getting dark. It also tends to affect women more than men, and those who have a family history of depression, and even those who live further north and away from the equator because there's less sunlight. So it's not uncommon to experience some form of SAD, which most people are likely to have. And this one's called subsyndromal seasonal affective disorder, SSAD, which is a milder form of SAD. This could be waking up when it's dark and then leaving work when the sun has already set, or just it's so difficult being outside when it's so cold or raining a lot more, which means maybe you go on walks or runs less, you're not traveling to the gym or to the mall or to hang out with people because of the weather, so less social activities, and then a lot of self-soothing and coping through eating and unhealthier habits. So those are some of the psychological aspects of SAD, but let's also consider the biological changes that are happening. When there is a lack of sunlight, you might experience a drop in serotonin and how that's being regulated. Serotonin is a hormone that stabilizes our mood, feelings of well-being, and overall sense of happiness. It's also what many antidepressants aim to control and stabilize those who do experience depression. Another impact of decreased sunlight is the overproduction of melatonin, which is a hormone that is released at night and is associated with the sleep and wake cycle. With too much melatonin, mood and energy levels are altered because you might feel sleepier, you're less energetic to do activities, you don't want to socialize or exercise, you might be feeling like you're in a slump all the time. And lastly, a lack of sunshine can also lead to low levels of vitamin D, which has been shown in research to contribute to depression when you have a deficiency in vitamin D. So now that we know some of the basics and science behind SAD, let's talk about things you can do to reduce these symptoms to help you feel better during more difficult and challenging months. Many of us have heard about light lamps or happy lights, light therapy, but there's actually no acknowledged guideline for light therapy. However, research has shown that shining light with at least 10,000 lux for 30 minutes is the most effective way to improve mood with light. It's even more effective if it's used 30 minutes before 8 o'clock, which is the typical time for sunrise across the year and in general, or when people are kind of awake, you know, in the morning or for school. So if you ever look into these light lamps, make sure it has at least 10,000 lux and you're using it for at least 30 minutes a day, and even better if it's in the morning. You could use it when you're eating breakfast, you can even put it behind your computer to shine it on you, or just anywhere that you're looking in the general direction. The key is to have it shown on you or you're looking at it. Another effective treatment is psychotherapy, or going through cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT, because it helps to reframe negative thoughts into more neutral or positive ones. CBT also uses behavioral activation to help individuals engage in activities that are fun, exciting, or even relaxing to combat the feelings of tiredness, feeling dread of having to do something, or lack of interest in activities. So behavioral activation is exactly as it sounds. You're activating your body and mind to do a behavior that is fun. It could be planning a movie night with friends or having a walk and talk with a friend. So you're both outside, but you're talking and catching up. A study done in 2015 showed that people who had 6 weeks of CBT for SAD had the same reduction in depressive symptoms as those who use light therapy. However, 2 years later, the symptoms were less likely to reoccur for those who had psychotherapy. And this is actually no surprise, because you can think of the light as a band-aid approach for people who see immediate relief or results. But over time, they haven't been working on the thoughts and behaviors that are making them feel down. And I find that a lot of my clients or people I speak with in general tend to lead towards those quick fixes or band-aid approaches, and it makes sense. It's a lot easier and less work to use a band-aid than to potentially experience more pain when you work through it instead. An example would be, a lot of the clients I work with on substance use, they tend to think inpatient care or going to a place for 30 days to rehab is much more effective than, let's say, a 1 year harm reduction approach. And of course, everyone has a different form of treatment that works best for them. But when you're away at rehab, you're going 30 days without any alcohol because there isn't any available. But you're not really learning how to manage the triggers or the cravings. And when you come out of rehab, you have no skills to reframe some of those negative thoughts. You haven't learned anything to activate any positive or healthy behaviors or build any positive or healthy habits. So working through what might be making you sad or what healthier habits are can be a lot more effective than these quick fix approaches. And aside from light therapy or psychotherapy, Things you could do might include having a consistent sleep schedule so your body acts like it's your own natural alarm clock. And that could also be being consistent with when you wake up. So it's not about waking up at 7 o'clock on weekdays and then waking up at 2 o'clock on weekends. It's trying to stay in that same range. It could be 9 o'clock, pushing it for 10 o'clock, but not just completely uprooting your sleep schedule. You could try getting some fresh air or outside time. I try to open my windows when I can. Let's say if I leave the house to run an errand for a bit, or I'm not going to be in my room so it won't get too cold for me. And if it's raining like it has been in Vancouver with the flooding, I sometimes just even open the door and stand outside the door for a couple of minutes, do some deep breathing and just have that fresh air. There's a lot of great impacts there. It's also about maintaining a healthy and balanced diet, recognizing when you might turn to stress eating or reducing carbs as they can make you sleepier and more tired and fatigued. And it's also for those of you, including myself, who think, oh, it's hibernation period, I can just eat however and whatever I want. But the key here is just being balanced and consistent. It could also be checking in with your doctor about taking or increasing vitamin D supplements and how that might impact some of the chemicals in your brain and how you're reacting to this lack of sunshine. And lastly, you can also try to create a comfortable and bright space. Maybe it's lighting a candle. For me, I like to have these LED light strips on my desk that I turn on every night to make my space brighter. You could put on your couch or your bed, or try to eat beside a window during the day so you're getting some of that light. I know that Christmas, the holidays, the winter time, the fall time, it can be challenging for a lot of us. Whether it's feeling isolated or feeling dread of having to go to work when it's dark and going home when it's dark. But I hope that you're able to incorporate some of these small changes or create healthier habits and routines in your life so that you're able to work through some of these symptoms. Maybe you noticed a friend has been more withdrawn. It could be an opportunity to do something in the morning or during the day, on the weekend or on the weekday, or a lunch walk. The little things do add up and help us change the mood and how the rest of our day might go. Thanks for listening to today's short snack-sized podcast episode, but I wanted to make sure I touch on this topic because it does affect a lot of people one way or another, even if it's just one or two of the symptoms. To support my podcast and help reach others, please follow and share it with anyone who is looking to learn a bit more about mental health. For any listeners who are visual learners or would like some more resources, I invite you to read my blog posts on shervin.ca and to follow my Twitter at HelloShervin for updates. I hope you stay warm and well, and I'll talk to you guys at the next episode. Take care.